Last week on Thomas and the Bible, Jesus apparently wasn't clear enough about what he wanted, so the apostles have to decide amongst themselves how Gentiles can get into heaven. They edit the Old Testament down to four commandments. No idol worship, no sex before marriage, God's okay with foreskins now, and you can eat anything you like as long as you don't strangle it or drink its blood. This all gets written up in an official letter, and Paul, Barnabas, Judas, and Silas head out to preach it to everybody in the world, except for the Asians. They meet Timothy and circumcise him for old time's sake, meet a fortune teller, take away her powers, get beaten for that and jailed, but sprung free by God again to preach and convert the Greeks. But not the Asians. With one solid yawn.
All right, thanks for the intro. As usual, Kevin, much appreciated. And hello, hi, how you doing? It's Thomas here. And it's Thomas and the Bible. It's the 231st episode of 260. Gosh, we are really closing in. We're going to be reading Acts 18 through 20. And starts off real boringly. So why don't we just, enough exciting verbal filibustering. Let's get to the really, really boring stuff. This first chapter makes the stammering I'm doing right now far more interesting. You're going to wish I were still stammering. Pretty much just describes some things that people do, but like not. I know. Basically, every book could be that, like, oh, that novel or whatever that just describes things people do. How boring. But it's like, yeah, but some things people do are more interesting than others. You don't write a novel about going to the grocery store or, oh, I talked to a friend today about stuff. Like, that's pretty much what this is. It's like, there's some random nothing that happened. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Oh, he's Christ. Okay. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood will be on your own hands. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles. I find this really funny because this is him. Christians do kind of pick and choose, so it's hard to know, but I mean, there's every reason why this passage would be as meaningful as any other passage in the New Testament, right? And the meaning of this passage is like, don't bother with the Jews. Don't try to teach the Jews. It's not worth it. Their blood is on their own hands. They cannot be taught. You can't teach an old Jew new tricks is the message here. But I'm surprised because I've never heard that sentiment expressed by any Christian that I know, but I mean, this is part of the gospel. This is Acts, this is should be listened to, it's weird. You always pick and choose what you want to listen to, I guess. But he's like, I'm done with you guys, which is, I think is so funny because things are so inconsistent. One minute. Okay, so we got Jesus, right? The man himself, he is God. He can't convince anybody. He convinces a handful of people, some followers. And of course, they were all Jews. Like, he only convinced Jews. So he only convinced Jews. And then the next people come along, the apostles come along afterward, the first Christians, and they're converting everybody just all day. Like, oh, they're doing miracles. They're like, oh, yeah, a million Christians already immediately. Seems easy. But then now it's really selective. Like, now they run into a group of Jews and they're like, I can't talk to these Jews. They just don't want to be preached to, or whatever. Like, which is it? It seems like, is this game off a little bit? It seems like if you could do miracles and talk about Jesus. Here we go. Okay, got that yawn. That yawn was trying to get through for a while. I don't know if you heard that. Okay. It's so inconsistent. You just never know. And departed thence and entered a certain man's house named Justus, one that worked, that worshipped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, Crispus. That's a funny name for some reason. Crispus, And it'd be like if your name was Crunchy or Crispy, but Crispus. And the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge in such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat to drave. And then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. Well, okay. And Galileo cared for none of those things. Well, doesn't that count as misdeeds, as some sort of malfeasance there? I don't know why. So he doesn't want to judge Paul because he's like, look, this is a Jew thing. This is one of those Jew things you guys got to work out for yourselves. And then they're like, they just take their chief ruler of the synagogue and beat him right in front of the guy. And he's like, "I don't care about that either. Sorry, I'm just not interested. Let me put it to you plainly. I don't care about you." And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while and took his leave of the brethren. No one cares about the guy that was just beaten, by the way. No one, it's not mentioned again. And sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. I thought they couldn't be reasoned with. When they desired him to tarry a longer time with him, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone, I realized just now, because I'm an idiot, that Caesarea is Caesar, but with an E-A, Caesarea. So it's like some little, Caesar took over a little place and was like, "I name it Caesarea." And gone up and saluted the church and went down to Antioch. Or maybe it was already part of whatever he ruled. I don't know. It's just interesting. And after he spent some time there, he departed and went all over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And so it's like he was teaching, you know, about the Lord really accurately, despite not really knowing anything somehow, I guess. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So like, this guy's got potential, and they taught him about God better. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly shewing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So he was good at teaching Jews. So they finally found themselves a teacher of Jews. They were having a hard time, but I guess he was better at it. All right, Acts 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Again, never heard of him. And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I love this. It's like he's a traveling baptism salesman. Because the way he phrases it, he's like, hey, you guys, you hear about this new Lord? This new Lord Jesus Christ model? And they're like, what? I don't know anything about the whatever that is. He's like, what? You haven't heard? Hold on. What was your last baptism? Oh, I don't know. It's been years. It was like John, I think his name was John the Baptism. Yeah, that's the last one I heard. John? No. You can't be going around with your latest baptism being from John. I got the new model. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the name. It's incredible. It puts John to shame. You're going to look like an idiot walking around with a John the Baptist baptism on you when this the latest model, Jesus Christ, so much better. I can't believe you haven't heard of it. You really haven't heard of it. You're not messing with me, are you? He's like a traveling baptism salesman. And then they're like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah, throw me into the new baptism model. I didn't realize John was so outdated. I realized there was a new version. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Yeah, I'm sure they did. And all the men were about 12, not 12 years old. That was how many there are. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily on the school of one Tyrannus. He sounds nice. His name is Tyrannus. So I'm sure he's totally nice. You know, just modest sort of guy. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So yeah, I had to look this up to get straight exactly what happened here because it was kind of confusing. So apparently there were some Jews that were like, look at these Christians, you know, getting rid of evil spirits. We could do that. I could do that. And so they go around and they like try to get rid of an evil spirit. And so I'm sure there's no reason to doubt this story whatsoever. They find an evil spirit guy and they're like, in the name of us or whatever, I don't know. They try to get rid of him. And then the evil spirit is like, wait, who are you? And I'm like, well, we're such and such. And he's like, nah, I haven't heard of you. So the evil spirit is like, well, I know Jesus and I know John, but I don't know you guys. So then the evil spirit, like the guy who's inhabited by the evil spirit, beats the crap out of him. And then from this story, all the Jews were like scared, and all the people who were like worshiping other gods, they threw away these scrolls that were, you know, blasphemous or worshiping other gods and stuff, sorcery and stuff. It's pretty funny. There's no reason to doubt that story, huh? And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them, and the name of Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that, yeah, they're like, say my name, Lord Jesus. And everyone was scared. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it was 50,000 pieces of silver. So, another again, I'm sure this is true. They had all these scrolls. Like I said, they're like spells, like in Final Fantasy, where you read a scroll and then you know like ice or fire or something. So they had a bunch of those, and they burned them. And then they were counting up how much this is how scared they were. They burned 50,000 silver pieces, which is some insane amount of money. One silver piece is a day's wages. So think about how much 50,000 silver pieces would be. That'd be like 50,000 days wages roughly. And that's how scared they were. Like they just threw away all this money pretty much. And it all sounds very made up to me, but what do I know? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul proposed purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he's going on a little vacation sightseeing. So he had sent, I wonder if the Colosseum is still there. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that this temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Mm-hmm. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So that's probably some other god that's not the, you know, the real god. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great Diana of the Ephesians! And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not that the city of Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For ye have brought thither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead. Implead. Interesting word. Implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So this guy's pretty clever. It's like a city clerk. And everyone's going nuts because there's these people teaching Jesus, as it keeps being the case. And then this place has a different god, Diana. And they're like, and they all gather in a theater. And someone shouts fire in a crowded theater. And then they all disperse. No, not really. But he talks them down. So that's that. So Acts 20. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea. That's a weird name, Sopater. And of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus. That's a cooler name. And Secundus. That's a weird sounding name. And Gaius of Derbe. Or Derb, I don't know. And Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Those going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. and came unto them in Troas 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So this is weird, because after the Paul called him disciples. So it changes from third person to like first person, or whatever we is. Is that first person still? Fourth person? I don't know, something. Or just whatever it is. But I think it's first person still, because it's saying we. Isn't it weird that it like it changes mid paragraph, or not mid paragraph, but like mid chapter? It's so we're on Acts 20, the first three. The first three, and they're accompanied in these going we. So the first five verses are the first four verses are in the third person. So it's like saying, oh, they did this, they did this, and then verse five, it changes to we. Which is kind of weird. Those going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. Isn't that weird? All right, where was I? And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, so it's back to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And they sat in a window, a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul literally bored a guy to death. Oh, man, I didn't even think of that the first time I read this. He's preaching and he's going on and on, and a guy falls asleep and falls out of a window. Like, literally, Paul bored a guy to death with his sermon. Wow, that is hilarious. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him. Well, that didn't help much. I fell out a window and then a guy falls on me. And embracing him said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and taken a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. So he brought a guy back to life. This is what's so funny. Again, he can just bring a guy back to life. That's fine. That's easy. No problem. I thought that was something only Jesus could do, but no, happens frequently. Guy died, and then he's like, oh, here, let me look. This isn't the first time I bored a guy literally to death. So let me just bring him back to life real quick. And so the idea that he couldn't convert certain people is just the funniest thing to me. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and now it's on we again, and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go foot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. The next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. Are we doing anything with this information, Bible? What's your plan? What is your plan for us and this information? For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible to him, to be at Jerusalem the day of the Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving with the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewn you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So this is sort of, it sounds like a deathbed speech kind of, but we won't find out, I guess, because this is our last chapter for today. But either that or it's just a goodbye. But he's saying all these things like, oh, I always, you know, did all this and you'll remember me this. And after I'm gone, he says there's going to be wolves entering among you and not sparing the flock. So it's a warning for them. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, perverts, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than receive. Well, that's a good message. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Ooh. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So that's the end. So we'll have to find out. Because if it's just a goodbye to certain people, like, I feel like we would have heard a lot more of these because he's traveling everywhere. He's from place to place, you know. But so I'm wondering if he's going to his death or something. I don't know. We'll find out. Next cliffhanger next week on Thomas and the Bible. All right. Thank you guys so much, as usual, for listening. The book is coming along nicely. It's very hard to balance everything in my life and write a book, but I'm doing it. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. I'm putting a ton of hard work into it. It's going to be one of the hardest things I've done, one of the biggest projects, probably the biggest project I've ever done. So I'm hoping desperately that you will support me when the time comes and buy the book. Otherwise, it will be an incredible amount of wasted time, but that's okay. That's on me. I got to internalize. If I can't sell this book, then I don't deserve to sell this book. That's how it works. Furthermore, if I haven't earned your patronage, then I don't deserve your patronage. But if you want to give me your patronage, go to patreon.com/TandTheB. It's been a while since I've had a new patron. Things are a little slow on that front, but I do have my all-time greats. John Bodley, Chris Lukowski, Marcel, Sarah McPike, Japan Dan, Katie, Stacy Swaney, George Green, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gare Ford, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, Heriberto, and honorable mention to Rob. Thank you so much for being my kind patrons. Go to patreon.com/TandTheB. Support the show that you love and that you listen to every week. Thank you so much to all who do. And I will see you next week to find out what happens to Paul. Who cares?